In our lesson last Sunday evening, we talked about the parable of light and darkness. The fact that in the physical realm, there is light in which we can see colors, we can see details, we can see any dangers or any problems, and there is pitch darkness where you can see none of those things. And so God wants us to understand that when we compare what is happening with this world with what is happening in heaven, that's the parable. What is happening in this world is darkness, and what is happening in heaven is light. And this is the message that we have heard from him, and we declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, the purpose of this is to help us understand that everything in the scripture is light, and everything in the world is darkness. And if there's a conflict, if there's a conflict between what I believe and what's in the scriptures, I have to make a choice. Will I remain in the darkness, or will I come into the light? But the confidence, we have to have confidence. As Jesus said, no one has ever ascended to the Father except the one who has descended from the Father. Jesus is the only one who really knows what the judgment day is going to be like. He's the only one who knows the criteria that we're going to have to live up to. So when he said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receives not my sayings has one that judges him. The words I have spoken will be his judge in the last day." So we have to trust Jesus with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all of our might, just like we love the Father. And we have to believe that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse us from all sins. So we're actually contrasting two domains. And you remember, I remembered this scripture after I put this sermon together and was on the way here, but in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, God says that he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so the world where God lives, all is light, everyone does God's will, and there is a knowledge of truth. It is a domain of love and good, and sadly, this world is different. And this is the condemnation, this is the judgment. And this is all from our sermon last Sunday. You can watch it if you'd like to or listen to it. This is the judgment, John 3:19, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Now, the purpose of my lesson this evening is to take it one more step. Where am I right now, and where are you right now? Are we in the light? We'd like to think we're in the light. But Jesus is going to pose a very important question to us. And so, everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. So I have a choice each day of my life. I can live my life based on the scriptures, walk in the light, and when I die, I can continue walking right into the light of God's domain, right into Abraham's bosom, where there will be joy and glory and peace. But if I choose not to do that, then I'm going to end up in the place which will ultimately be the darkness of despair. So here's the issue that Jesus wants us to think about. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. Now, I think this is a parable. I don't think he's talking about this eye. I think he's talking about the eyes of our heart that Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 1. We had a sermon on that a few months back. The eyes of your heart being enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and the exceeding greatness of his power. You can't see that, as the last lesson we talked about this morning. We look at the things that are not seen, because the things that are seen, they're only temporary. So the lamp of the body is the ability of my soul to visualize and see what the scriptures are saying and accept them. So he says, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. Well, what light's he talking about? The same light God dwells in. The same light that he came into the world to reveal. The same light that I'm supposed to shine into the darkness. But when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. And then he makes this point. Take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Now that's a question that I want to pose to us this evening. Am I in the darkness at any point during the week? Is there something I'm doing? A habit? Something I'm practicing? Something that I can't see yet? Some doctrine, some practical application, some positive command that I'm supposed to be doing, but for some reason, I'm still in the darkness. I'm not there yet. And I need to be aware of that, and I need to be looking for that. Because as Jesus said in Matthew 6:23, if then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So what we need is a good eye. Okay, that's what he says up there in Luke chapter 11, verse 34. The lamp of the body is the eye when your eye is good. Now, depending on your translation, it's kind of interesting because the single eye is also translated the good eye, the clear eye, the single eye, the healthy eye, and the sound eye. Which one is it? What's he talking about here? Is it a good eye? Or a clear eye? Well, you say, well, a good eye and a clear eye are the same. Well, no, they're not exactly the same. A good eye is a little different than a clear eye. The single eye, let's look at the Greek word and let's talk about the definition a little bit. This man, Trench, who wrote his book probably in the 16 or 1700s, I really like him. He really does some deep thinking. And he says some things here that I think are impossible. The first thing he says is, it's quite impossible to improve on single. That's what the Greek word means. It means single. It means I don't have double vision. It means that I can focus on something out there in the distance and see it clearly, not with some worldly goal in between that distant goal there, that I'm looking at this and I'm looking at this and I don't have a single eye. Then he says, because it is this particular term, haploo, it means something that is expanded, something that is spread out, thus without folds or wrinkles. Compare simplex, not without folds, but one-folded. And then he goes on to say, it is not sine. Well, what's a sine? Well, we know what a sine wave is. Matter of fact, I looked one up today. I wanted you to see. Here's a sine wave. Now, if you're standing here and you're looking in this direction and you've got this sine wave, what are you going to see? And so you can't see through it. And that's the problem. That's the essential nature of the darkness. I have a prejudice, and because of that prejudice, whatever it is, I like to sin. Or I like my parents' religion. Or I like to be rich. Or I like to be rude and obnoxious. Or I like to cheat people and steal. I have something, and I can't see through it. And Jesus says, I've got, or the definition of the word is, we need to expand that sine wave. We need to get all the folds out until it looks more like this. Now, haplo means that which is spread out without folds. So now here I am looking at off into the distance, and what can I see? Well, I can see everything. So that's what Jesus is asking me. He's asking me to look at my life, read the scriptures, and make applications, and try to figure out if there's some dark spot somewhere, something in my life that is dark, something in my life that is going to keep me out of heaven, and I don't even know it because I can't see it because of that sine wave that we just talked about. So as we look at the definition again, it's impossible to improve on the word single, because if I'm trying to see through that sine wave and I'm looking and I can see a little bit further here, a little bit further, but I can't get past it. I don't have a good eye. And It's interesting because I've been watching this. I preached this lesson about 3 years ago. I've changed it quite a bit, but I preached this lesson about 3 years ago. And since then, I've been watching what I do. I've been watching temptation, and I've been watching what it does and how it gets stronger and how you can control it. And what I've found is that when you can see clearly to the end, this is where this is going to lead. I'm getting out of here. I'm not even going to stay here. So without folds or wrinkles. Now, those are our excuses, our rationalizations, our thought processes that the flesh starts to use. Remember, Paul said in Romans chapter 8 that we have a fleshly body and a spiritual body inside, and we're not schizophrenic, but one time this one's pulling, and one time this one's pulling, and here I am in the middle trying to make the decision, am I going to give in to the flesh, or am I going to walk by the Spirit? So compare simplex without folds, but one folded, not signed. This notion of singleness, simplicity, absence of folds, which thus lies according to its etymology, that means the history of how this word developed, is predominant in its use. So the translators, they're trying to get not signed, because you can't put not signed. If people read not signed, they wouldn't know what that meant. So you have to put good or clear or single or healthy or sound. So sinful lusts, you can't see through them. That's how it starts. That's how, before we became a Christian, that's how we live. Can't see through it. There's nothing wrong with that. I remember arguing with my wife's sister in high school before I became a Christian. And she was telling me it's a sin to get drunk. And I just said, that is the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life. What could possibly be wrong with getting drunk? Well, she got her Bible out and showed it to me. And I thought, man, now I'll never be able to do it again. Because now I can see through the sine wave and I can see this is an evil activity. This is something God doesn't want us to do. Even before I became a Christian, I already knew if God didn't want me to do it, I couldn't do it with a clear conscience. So, but sinful lusts are like that. So if we have a problem, a door that we opened in our youth, this is what comes. This thing right here, that's what comes. And that's what was single folded. Or expanded, now turns into this. And you can't see through it. And so if you want to compare this, then you're looking at a situation here where as the lust moves up and down, I'm just tossed all around and I can never quite see the way that I should. But he that comes to the light can see the light and see where he's going. So the question is not, am I a member of the Church of Christ? Have I been baptized into Christ? Am I worshiping correctly? And am I walking with God and doing the things God wants me to do? I think most of us can answer that question. Matter of fact, it's fascinating because that's exactly how the Jews felt. The Jews felt exactly the same way we do, and yet they were all in the darkness. And so I want to make that parallel. I want to talk about that parable here. But first of all, let's keep reading because I didn't have the whole scripture up there. We read verse 34, but look at verse 35 and 36. Take heed, the light which is in you is not darkest. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light as when the bright light shining of a lamp gives you light. That's why I have to root these things out. That's why I have got to go through my life every day, repent of those things that I know I shouldn't have done, and keep searching for that final frontier, which we're never going to get to, because Paul says it's an upward call, and we get over these mountains, and here's another mountain, and we get up to the top of that one, and there's another one, and Paul says, that's not going to end. I've never attained, and I'm not ready, already perfected. So, this is a parable. It's just another way of looking at things. It's just another way for me to take out my sinful behaviors and take a good look at them and understand that this concept of a sine wave. So I hope the next time you see a sine wave, you'll think about that. And you'll think about whether your eye is single or not. So what exactly am I looking for? It might even be impossible for me to see it right now. And let's just accept that. Oh no, preacher, I don't do that. You might do that. I'm there. I see everything. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You know what I find fascinating? I can see it in everybody else but me. And for the most part, you can see it in everybody else but you. When you sit down and talk to somebody about the gospel, and you start hearing the darkness coming out of their mouth, and you're just shaking your head thinking, what can I do? How can I get the light into this guy's life? He cannot see the necessity of baptism. I can see his darkness. I can see the darkness of the man who's affirming we can use instrumental music in our services, because they're looking at history instead of the scriptures. If you look at the scriptures and the early history of the church, you'd never draw that conclusion. But they don't go back that far. There's no light in them. But then when I have to counsel certain members of the church who are getting ready to fall away or gotten involved in something that is so horrible, and I think to myself, how in the world did you get yourself tied up in that? And you do some digging and you find out, well, when I was a kid, I opened this door and I went in and I haven't been able to see clearly since. And you know, my heart goes out to people like that. I don't care what the sin is. I had a homosexual once who told me about how he got there and how he struggled with it. He was married. He ultimately left his wife and fell away. But I felt so bad for him because he couldn't see. I could see it perfectly. What are you doing? This is nuts. But he couldn't see. And you know something? I've got him too. And you have him too. And becoming aware of what they are and shining the light of truth on it is a critical part of getting out of this. Because if we don't do that, that darkness is just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger until it engulfs us and we can't see clearly anymore. Israel's eye was not single. What they saw in themselves, you're called a Jew. You rest on the law. You make your boast in God. You know his will. You approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law. You are confident that you're a light, a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form and knowledge of the truth in the law. Now, I would challenge any of you, all we'd have to do is change a couple of words in here. Instead of Jew, we'd put Christian or member of the Church of Christ. And instead of law, in verse 20, we put the truth in the gospel. And I think there's a lot of people running around today who think just like these Jews did. They think, I'm called a Christian, and I rest on the gospel, and I make my boast in God, and I know his will, and I approve the things that are excellent. And that's what they thought of themselves. Yet they crucified their own Messiah. Is that darkness or what? The Messiah comes, fulfills all the prophecies, performs multitudes of miracles, teaches the truth right out of God's word. And these people who thought so highly of themselves, and we can see it in them, but you know something? I can see it sometimes in members of the church. They have the same arrogant pride. They look at themselves as a class instead of as an individual. We can't do that because we're going to stand before God as individuals. And here's Paul's question. And what I find fascinating about this is it's one specific sin that's the problem. This isn't a global problem. This is a specific problem. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? Now, here's the light in the darkness, and this is the kind of thing. Now, maybe mine's not here. Maybe I don't have an issue with any of these things. I'm not interested in stealing or committing adultery or certainly not robbing temples or dishonoring God. But you know something? Emotionally or intellectually or pride or arrogance or anger or bitterness or hatred, there's something there. And that one thing That one single thing in each of those people is what led them to do that. Each one of them had one of these. And that's what got them. And the same thing is going to happen to us. So we have to think about the quality of my eye. And the quality of my eye is not in how I can see your weaknesses. Because we're all pretty good at that. I can see your weaknesses. They're pretty glaring. Well, that's not fair. They're not glaring. I see other people's weaknesses and they're glaring. Yours are harder to see. Because we've been Christians a long time. But it's there. And you and I need to ferret them out. We've got to figure out, which ones do I have? What are my weaknesses? What are the doors that I've opened? And how have they changed the way I see? Because once you open that door into sin, you're in the darkness. You can't see clearly anymore, and you'll never see that particular thing. Just like Eve. When Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the first thing that happened was they were naked and ashamed, and they put clothes on, and that was never going to change. That was never going to be fixed. He who says he's in the light, maybe you were thinking, I specifically did this hoping I'd catch someone. I said, you have one thing. Each of us has one thing, and that puts us in the darkness. And maybe you were thinking, well, one thing wouldn't put me in the darkness. Well, let's look at one thing here. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, I could just as easily write, he who lusts after a woman, he who is greedy, he who is... I could pick any one of the lusts of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5 and the same exact results would happen. Because you don't have to do 50 things to be in the darkness. You only have to do one. And so, what's your one thing? Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? Is it spending too much time looking at things on the computer you shouldn't be, or watching movies that you know you shouldn't be watching, or feeling greed or anger or bitterness? Or it doesn't matter what it is. It's darkness. And the very fact that we have it is a flaw. Because if we could see clearly, we'd get rid of it. We don't want that in our life. Why can't we get rid of it? Because we can't see it. That sine wave. You can kind of see through it, and then the lust starts. And all of a sudden, you can't see it anymore. So, agape love versus hate is the same thing as light versus darkness. Yet, this is not clear to those afflicted with it. Except, I don't hate anybody. Well, hatred is an interesting commodity. When you have it, you don't know where you're going, and you can't see it. And you know, you don't have to hate 24/7. You only have to hate when they do something that's irritating to you. What a dope, we think. What a dope. What are you talking about? Oh, that brother over there. He just irritates me. Well, you know something? You better get rid of that. So, well, that's not hatred. Well, is it agape love? Is that what it is? No, it is part of that sine wave. It is part of being in the darkness. Love suffers long and is kind and bears all things and believes all things and hopes all things. So it's darkness when we talk like that, and yet we do. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Wow. That's pretty strong language. If I said that, you'd probably take me aside after the lesson and say, Ellen, you're kind of being a little stern, don't you think? But I didn't say it. The Holy Spirit said it. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, he who loves God must love his brother also. But look at the parable again. Let's go back to that previous verse. He who says he is in the light but hates his brother, he doesn't have a single eye. He doesn't have a single. So the next time you get irritated with me because I preach too long, Just remember this verse. Just remember this verse. Or the next time you get irritated at me, that preacher, he's stopped preaching from the word, he's meddling, he's stepping on my toes now. Next time you think about that, just take a couple of steps back and don't get too upset or too angry or too irritated, because that's the darkness. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17, Paul says we should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God. And he goes on to say a lot of other things which would have been very applicable here, but it doesn't really fit in with what I want to accomplish tonight. But do you have any futility in your mind? The rest of the Gentiles do. Evil companionship corrupts good morals. Let me tell you something, brethren. If we're watching much television, we're being influenced and we're thinking things that probably shouldn't be in our minds anymore. They're futile. And our understanding is darkened. And if you want to argue with that, that just shows how darkened your understanding is. As Paul said in Romans chapter 1, they not only practice these things, but they also consent with others who practice them. And that's not proper. So let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Now, it wasn't my intent, and I'm not preaching on hatred and love. I'm preaching on darkness. But I'm talking about, take heed that the light that is in you is not darkness. Because if it is, how great is that darkness? And the people that he was talking to, those Jewish leaders, they died in that darkness. They never did see. They were persecuting Jesus, persecuting Paul, persecuting the church, until the destruction of Jerusalem. And now they can see, but it's too late. So, when under the influence of these emotions, clearly in the darkness. That's what Paul says. It's the futility of their mind and their understanding. You won't find that in heaven. People don't treat each other like that. People are not rude and obnoxious and angry and bitter in heaven. And when under the influence of these emotions, we just have to understand something. I'm in the darkness. And you know something? Even though I can see this so clearly, the next time I'm in that situation, I won't be able to see it anymore. You say, well, why not? I don't know. When the lust starts to kick in, that sine wave starts, and suddenly that what was so clear a few minutes ago is gone, and all you can see is the emotions you're feeling right now, and that's when the problem comes up. Now, again, it doesn't matter whether this is anger or frustration or whether this is hatred or sexual lust or drunkenness or whatever it might be. When we're under the influence of those emotions, we're walking in the darkness. We're practicing, and we need to repent and get out of that, because what we're showing ourselves. And this is what I, again, what I find the most fascinating is, you can array all of the scriptures on the subject, and you can read them all, and you can say to yourself, now I see it clearly. You know what's going to happen the next time that lust comes? You're not going to see it anymore. And the reason you're not going to see it anymore, because you're in the darkness. There's a part of you, there's a part of me that's in the darkness. And if we deny that, then we're never going to be able to solve the problem. We'll be like those Jews and we're going to die in our sins. So you who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through your breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. And we've seen this happen. One of our staunch members does something so despicable that it brings shame and reproach on the church, and it might take years and years to overcome that. The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. But they said, we are the people. We are Jews. We have this. We have this. We have this. And they were in complete darkness. You say, well, yeah, that happened to them, but that'll never happen to me. Well, that's what Jesus is trying to help us understand. We need to be careful thinking like that. What they could not see in themselves, others could see in them. And that's the universal problem. For example, love suffers long. I mean, you can look at all these words. That's what love does. If I say I love God and I hate my brother, I'm in the darkness. Well, what does it mean? It means that I'm not suffering long and being kind. You say, well, wait a minute. Just because I'm not manifesting agape love doesn't mean I hate them. Well, unfortunately, everything's black and white. There's no gray here. We're either in the darkness or we're in the light. We're either walking in the light and the agape love, which is suffering long and is kind and is never rude and never is selfish and is never provoked and never thinks no evil and bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Can you honestly say in your relationships with all the people you work with, all the people you know, and your family members, you never, ever do anything but this? I'm always, well, don't ask Jeannie if I'm always suffering long and kind, because she's going to tell you the truth. And I wish it wasn't that way. But I'd love to have someone here teach me how to do all of this all the time. Because it's hard. When we do these things, we're walking in the light. When we violate them, we're in the darkness. And that's the dangerous paradox. Whoops, is right here. What we can't see in ourselves, others can see in us. And what we can't see in ourselves, we can see in others. Isn't that the interesting paradox? I can see it in you. You can see it in me. But we can't see it in each other. And so oftentimes, the very thing we are condemning in other people, it's like they say, you point one finger at yourself and look at these, they're all pointing back at you. And that's actually the case. Because we are all struggling with darkness. And the moment we admit that is when the light can actually dawn and we can actually get busy getting those last vestiges of darkness out of this spiritual light that I've become a part of. Because any one of those can come up at any time and really hurt us. Now, as I said, hatred is here. But so also, I mean, I didn't color them, but adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in time past, if you're walking in the darkness and you can't see these things, and you're practicing them without repentance, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So how much of this do I want to get out before I die? As much as I can. Now, is it going to happen? I don't think so. I used to think so. In my 20s, I knew by the time I was 50, I was going to be perfect. And then I hit 40 and I thought, well, it might take a little longer than I thought. And then I hit 55 and I went through midlife crisis because I realized, you know something, Alan, you're going to go before God and you're not going to be perfect. You thought you were, but you're not going to be. These things are tough. They're tough to get out. You get it. You see it clearly. It's focused. You know exactly what it is. Then the next morning you get up and something happens and it's all gone. And before you even realize it, you're right back where you were. And you can't figure out how in the world. I thought I had this beat. Here it is again. That's the darkness. I can see clearly the ones I've never practiced. And if you do them in my presence, I'm going to see them. And you can see clearly the ones you've never practiced. I've never met anybody who is not a murderer who would say, I can't see why God would condemn murder. I just don't see anything wrong with it. But you try that with your lust. And when you're in the middle of it and you're saying to yourself, man, this sure doesn't feel wrong to me. But the person that is the brunt of it, it sure seems wrong to them. We think, how did God put it? The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. But when we're doing it, we think we're giving them exactly what they need. But we're not. The scriptures, I'm going to just put these up. This is a slide from last week. You probably recognize it. The scriptures are the light. And it's up to me to bring my level of understanding and practice up to what the scriptures teach. And that's our job, and that's what Jesus says you need to be doing. If the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? If you can see that there's darkness within you, and you're working busily to get rid of it, then God is going to be happy. But if we ignore this, ultimately, it could do the same thing to us it did to the Jews. And you say, well, that can't happen to me. Well, it sure happened to a lot of the people I've known through the years. And I'm sure you know some people, too, who couldn't hang on because they didn't take care of something when they had the opportunity to do it. Or at least they didn't bring it out into the light and start working on it. And it just got bigger and bigger and bigger until their whole body was in the darkness and they couldn't see anymore. And so when what the scriptures say and what I'm thinking or doing are different, it's not the scriptures. You know, I do that every once in a while. Even in my Bible reading, I'll read something. I'll say, I don't know if that's true. And then as soon as I say that, I say, oops, wait a minute. You know that's true. There's something wrong with you. Why would you think that? There's something wrong. But, well, I won't say we all do it because no one here has ever told me they do it. I know that it's hard not to do that when there's something in the scriptures that doesn't quite ring true in my personal life, and I have to make a choice. Is the problem the scripture, or is the problem me? When I'm feeling a temptation, quoting the right scriptures, but I still can't see it clearly. I'm quoting the scriptures, but without conviction, because there's something inside of me that says, you know, you really don't believe that. When I'm teaching to others, but I can't do it yet, I'm weak. When I'm teaching to others, but practicing the opposite, I'm not weak. I'm in the darkness of hypocrisy. And so I've found through the years, a preacher can always preach beyond what he can practice. That doesn't make him a hypocrite. That makes him somebody who's growing. When I can see more than I can do, that's a good thing. That means I'm not in a rut. That means that I'm still looking forward to the things that are ahead. But when I reach a level where I'm teaching other people, but telling myself, I'm never going to change this, I like it. Well, wait a minute. That's not the same. It's not the same. If I'm teaching to others, but I can't do it, I'm weak. But when I'm teaching it to others, but I don't really believe it, I just know you expect me to preach it because that's what I have to say in order to be a preacher if I don't preach it like that. If there's any of that, and I can tell you, brethren, from the bottom of my heart, there's nothing like that. But this is an interesting conundrum for preachers. Sometimes you feel, I don't want to preach on this lesson right now because I'm still struggling with it and I don't want to be a hypocrite. Well, wait a minute. That's the very thing you should be preaching on, because maybe while you're preaching on it, you'll see something and you'll be able to work a little harder on it. It's not hypocrisy when you're teaching other people and you can't do it because you can't do it, but you're struggling and fighting. Like Paul said, I'm buffeting my body and bringing it into bondage. But if I'm teaching it to others when I really don't believe it, maybe I better hang it up. Maybe I better realize I'm in serious trouble, because that's what happened to the Jews. They were hypocrites. Scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. And when Stephen told the same group of people the same thing, they gnashed on him with their teeth, they picked him up, threw him out of the city, and stoned him to death. And boy, that sure showed what a godly bunch of people they were, didn't it? And Saul was right there with them. Yeah, that's what we need to do. Well, Paul saw it ultimately. These people didn't. So when God sent Jesus to show them, the darkness was so deep, they rejected and killed him. So when we talk about a single eye, be aware. Start looking at yourself. Like I say, it's so easy to say, I'm sure glad so-and-so is here today because they really need this lesson. But maybe I'm the one who needs this lesson. Be aware. Start looking. See it in yourself. There's no folds, no wrinkles, no sine waves in the dark, in the light. And so we should be able to recognize it as soon as I start feeling that something I want, which God condemns as sin, and I still want it, I know something's just happened. Because I'm not normally that way. I know something's just happened. What has just happened? Well, that sine wave has kicked in. I just can't see anymore. Now, we need to repent. We need to confess. And we need to understand some things. And that is, you can't really hide this. And so, brethren, as we conclude this lesson, I think I'm going to do one more on this subject because I think it's that important. I think that we've got to understand that seeing ourselves clearly. I always found as a young Christian that the moment I found a new problem was the eureka moment, and I liked that the best because now I got something to work on. Now I've got something, but if I'm not aware of it, then I don't even know it's a problem. And if there's anyone here who thinks they don't have any problems, why don't you ask your husband and wife and the people who know you, and you may find out a few things. You might hear some things you weren't expecting. Because we're not the person we think we are. We don't always act the way we ought to act. But learning the truth and the light is the most important part. Now, does that mean it's going to go away? No, it doesn't mean it's going to go away. But the battle commences. Flesh lusting against the spirit, spirit flesh against the flesh. And we walk by the spirit and we don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. As we open up our songbook to number 272, I hope that all of us can give careful consideration to these words because we don't want to end up in the darkness. Don't want to walk from this world into the darkness. We want to walk from this world into the light. Well, if you want to walk from this world into the light of God's kingdom, you've got to see it now. So as we sing the song of encouragement, if there's anyone in the audience,